Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shay, we've got Jay Moore, we got you here on this Monday morning. Open phone line for you as always, 312-332-3776. We'll crosstalk with Black and Abdallah in an hour from 10 to noon. They're in for Greeny. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 4:30 into White Sox baseball. The Sox take on the Guardians. After that, we'll have coverage of the Nuggets and the Lakers, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. I'd like to remind you also, Cap, that Carmen and Yurko tomorrow, they'll be broadcasting live from the Visitor Center at the Woodford Reserve Distillery. Woodford Reserve? Yep. They're going to be there.
Yep, Woodford Reserve is a cool place.
In Versailles, Kentucky, that's where they're going to be. They're going to broadcast from Versailles, Kentucky.
How about that?
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. I've been to Woodford Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
We went on the Bourbon Trail in Versailles, Kentucky, I think. Or is it Versailles? I don't know.
I just said Versailles, pal.
I'll go with that. But it's cool as hell. Cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
The Bourbon Trail is amazing. Now, I do not have the depth of knowledge that Carm brings to the table. I just like what I like. But it's super cool.
It's interesting. So it says here that it's about an hour away. That's what it says here on my email. So I don't know.
Hour away from here?
Yeah, that's what it says here. So it says Versailles, Kentucky. And that if you're near it, come by and see Carmen and Yurko at the Woodford Reserve Distillery.
In an hour.
Check your email. That's what it says.
But I have a private plane.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
Go ahead. I give you something real quick?
Is this a sidebar to where we were going?
No, it's prior to you shifting from what we were just talking about.
Carmelo Anthony retirement?
Nope.
Oh.
But NBA.
Oh, okay.
So Jay Croucher, who is the head odds maker for NBC, mm-hmm. He used to be at PointsBet. He said, Shay, I want you to hear this. Gives you some life. There is too much anchoring to the idea that 3-0 deficit in the NBA is insurmountable. If a team was ever going to come back from 3-0 down, the team that was minus 600 as a pre-series favorite and still fully healthy is probably the best ever candidate to do it. Boston has to win two coin flip road games and two home games, which they would be at least an 8-point favorite. It's highly unlikely they do it, but it is not as unlikely as plus 950, which is what they are. Boston winning four straight from here is much, much more likely than Miami winning three straight was before the series. Give you any hope?
It's like pointing a gun at me and telling me you might not pull the trigger. At some point, I just have to accept this team blows. They blew their own foot off. Yeah, they're going to be favored in three of the next four games, but it's not going
to
matter.
He said, in saying all this, I look forward to Miami probably winning 113-87 in game four.
Yeah, more than likely, yes, because the Celtics could on themselves and their head coach, Joe Mazzulla. And I don't know how to fix this because Tatum and Brown is supposed to be a 1-2 punch to be able to get through, at least win a game at home, and they did not. Last night they get on the road, and they just pissed themselves. It was bad. It was bad. And so, you know, when the question earlier was, is this bad for the NBA? Is it bad NBA playoffs? No, it just shows that there's some strong regular season teams. And when you get to the next level, when the light shine brightest cap, that's what it looks like. Did not look good for the Celtics at all. And so, and again, I want to give the Heat credit. It's to me, the Celtics at the high seed should be able to beat the Miami Heat. You think that the Heat have lived a charmed existence in the playoffs? Not the case. The Heat actually have culture. The Heat actually have a plan. Again, I'll say it again for those who have not been following all season. The Heat underachieved grossly this season. They were on the same plane as the Bulls. The Heat beat the Bulls in the play-in, and they have not looked back ever since. They have been a tremendous basketball team, led by Jimmy Butler. I know you get this on your social media, because I get it on my social media, about how come the Bulls didn't keep Jimmy Butler? How come you know why? Because Jimmy Butler on this Bulls team or the last few Bulls teams just would have been just another goof with horns on his head. That's what he would have been. Just a guy. He could have been the leader, but then what about the rest of the team? The organization would have supported Jimmy Butler like the Heat are supporting Jimmy Butler.
So I watched the whole...
Fair or not?
Fair. I watched a whole feature, to your point, this weekend on the culture that the Heat have under Pat Riley. They said Spoelstra, when he was hired, everyone went, oh, he's just a puppet for LeBron. Not so much.
Yeah.
He's going to go down as one of the 10 best NBA coaches of all time. But they said Pat Riley said, if you cross the line this much, just an inch, we will confront you about it. Everything is about, is it the best thing for the Miami Heat? Not the best thing for the player, the best thing for the team and the organization. And that starts at the top and filters all the way down. And they do an amazing job in player development. They put their money into it and finding guys that no one else wants. Gabe Vincent, undrafted. Max Strus, oh, Chicago let him go with a torn ACL? They didn't see anything? We'll take him. Now he's going to get, what, $30, $40
million? Rightfully so.
That's all they keep doing is finding guys other people don't want. Jimmy Butler's gone through three teams? Mm-hmm. We'll take him. And Jimmy said he was molded by what he did in Chicago. I know Jay Moore has that. You have that audio. But Jimmy talked about that, and when he got to the Heat, you're going to play the way the Heat want you to play or don't sign here.
I remember coming into the league, and I didn't practice because I was like the 15th guy. And I would look at the way that D-Rose and Booze and Lou and Joe Kim the same team, but cussing each other out. Mm-hmm. You miss your goddamn assignment. It's your fault. And I was just like, damn, like. And he'd be like, yeah, so what? Let's go down here and get a stop. That. Don't do it again. And I'm just like, oh, my God. He talking to D-Rose like that? Oh, no. They should have cut his ass.
Yes, D-Rose.
You better talk to Derek like that. MVP, you know the hell you talking to.
Yeah.
But, like, so that's what was instilled in me.
You.
And so then whenever I did start practicing, when I missed my assignment, had everybody on my tail. Yeah. So, you know, you got to fend for yourself. Yeah, I feel you. But you're going back and forth, and at the end of the day, you're like, yo, I got you. I'm not going to do that again.
That's a great idea.
You know, but that's what I came into the league with. So that's what built me and made me me. That's all that I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to be a number one pick. I don't know how to, when I do something wrong, somebody not tell me that I did it wrong and just let it go. That's not how we did it back in my Chicago days. I'm serious. So that's why I'm confrontational. Mm-hmm. When I see something, I just jump on it right there, boom. And I say it, and then I'm thinking I'm moving on from it, not thinking that somebody's stuck on it this way or that way because I said it this way or that way. That's just how it was. And you ask Taj, ask Joe, like, that's how it was in them Chicago days. It was fun, too.
Now, think about that. He was built toward that. Now, of course, if Cap and I or any of the media come to the Advocate Center, the curtain's down, so you can't see the practice.
Correct.
That's been going on even since Kraus was the general manager.
He started it.
Yeah. Bring the curtain down. No one needs to see the fighting and the, you know, the yelling and the coaching and all that. I had no idea how rough those practices were where everyone was held accountable. That's what kept those Bulls team together. But I guess the overarching point is that Jimmy Butler has brought that to Miami where they love confrontation, Cap. They love confrontation. Where the point where in this season, Jimmy Butler wanted to fight Spoelstra. Want to fight him during a timeout. And Spoelstra's like, you want to fight me? Bring it. And like, and of course, Haslam's in there. It's like, okay, that's enough. That's enough. This is during a game where they're falling apart as a team. Jimmy wanted to fight the coach on the floor. That's crazy, right? The only parallel I can come up with that in my time is like the Yankees fighting each other back
Correct.
In the day.
Correct.
Like there's Reggie Jackson wanted to fight Billy Martin, and they had to be separated. It was a brawl in there. Crazy, right? So I respect Jimmy in that regard. But I know, as I mentioned, on our social media, how come he's not with the Bulls? How come we let him go? All that. We documented on Friday's show that there was a big divide between Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and the rest of the team.
Yep.
And Jimmy was on his way out. He was a, as I said, 14th, 15th guy, he said, from a quiet guy from Tumble, Texas, to become a terrific two-way player. And that fight is on that team, and Jimmy embodies what the Heat are.
So explain to me then why the Bulls can't have a better culture. Why can it be Miami? There's only one Pat Riley. You're telling me no one else in the league can have a culture because they don't have Pat Riley? I'll tell you that's BS. This falls at the feet of upper management over there. This isn't on the coach. This isn't on the players. It starts from the top all the way down. Now, Jerry isn't in there, Reinsdorf. He's not in there making draft picks. He lives in Arizona and comes back and forth. Michael's not in there making picks, Reinsdorf, not Jordan. But Arturas or Pax or Gar or Mark Eversley or any of these dudes, why can't we have that kind of culture? And why can't we develop players better than they have? I have said I would fire the front office here. They're no better than Gar and Pax were.
All right. Well, here's, you know what? I'll answer your question. The answer to your question is they don't have the infrastructure or leadership like the Heat do. The Heat are like one of the most successful teams in the league. Everyone's looking at Golden State here, Milwaukee there. Look at the Heat under Eric Spoelstra. But it starts with Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't disrespect, who disrespects Riley? Lakers, Knicks, and helping build this franchise, along with Alonzo Mourning, along with Bob McAdoo. Like, all these guys get respect, man. And so when the Heat come in, when you come in as a Heat player, it's like, oh, we had to play hard for Pat Riley. It's not even Spoelstra. Play hard for Pat Riley because he's the one that's overseeing the operation.
Correct.
So the Bulls don't have that.
He is the boss.
See the difference, though? The difference is that Pat Riley is an excellent executive. He's made his mistakes, too. But look at that team. They're on the precipice of getting to the finals. Will they win it? I don't know. But the point is, though, is that the Heat organization is solid, but because it starts with Pat. Who's the Pat on the Bulls?
Don't have one.
Who's the Pat on the Sox or the Cubs? It starts with leadership. How is there a Heat culture? Because it's built that way, starting with Riley. That's the difference. That you're asking, how come the Bulls don't have that? Who is that? Shouldn't that be an old Bull? Oh, we had one of those. It's John Paxson.
Right.
And what was the Bulls' way under that? Pulling the tie of a head coach because you don't like him playing Joakim Noah too long? Like you had one in John Paxson. Didn't work out. Who's the next guy?
Right.
You got an old nugget there in the front office and a Nike guy. That's your leadership.
That's our leadership. That's my point. And then how is player development so awful? Like, why do nobody develops? You watch, they'll trade Patrick Williams at some point. He's 21 years of age. We'll wake up, he'll be 25, and everyone will be like, oh, that guy's a really good player. Yeah, because you didn't know how to develop him.
Fair. Like Lowry.
Lowry Markkanen, most improved player in the league and an all-star. Huh. Not here.
Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Jesse Rogers on the CarX Tired Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
As we saw Cubs and Sox with Jesse on ESPN 1000 on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
Well, I'm okay, but my partner here, not so much.
Yeah, I'm pissed off, Jesse. That team on the north side, they look awful.
They do. They do. They really do. What did we say Friday? No part of their game is working. You know the old saying, pitching and defense wins championships? Well, right now, it's just defense. There's just one half that is happening in that tandem, and they're not getting consistent offense at all. They're really struggling when there's a righty on the mound well below 500 against righties, above 500 against lefties. We used to see that with the White Sox. But look, when both of your parts of your game between offense and pitching aren't working together, when you're getting one once in a while, the other, this is what happens. I mean, it's not a big mystery. I mean, one day you get a Justin Steele outing, really nice, but not much offense. The day before you get an outing like Jameson Taillon, right? No pitching. So this is what has happened here, and it's worse than anyone could have thought in this moment. Coming back home will help, but that was a brutal, brutal road trip. Where do you want to start?
Well, just two wins and a 9-game road trip. Cap is hitting the roof right now. I mean, that's brutal.
Well, first of all, I'd like to know, Jameson Taillon, what was it that intrigued them about this guy?
Yeah, let's talk about him. I mean, he had a decent season last year, right? But this is what comes to mind with him. study long, study wrong. He's an overthinker. He has changed his game over the last couple of years. He keeps meddling with his game. His four-seam fastball usage is down. His cutter usage is up. His sinker and sweeper is down. His curveball is down. Or sweeper is up, I should say. His curveball usage is down.
What is the deal with this word sweeper now? I'm listening to Len doing the game the other day. There's a sweeper for strike one. There's another sweep. When do we start using sweeper?
This year. It's a slider that is more horizontal, right, than vertical. That's pretty much what it is.
The slider.
But let's go back let's go back to Taillon, because I do think the next thing we're going to hear from him and Tommy Hotovy and David Ross is this. He needs to simplify and get back to what made him a good pitcher in the first place. He's tinkering too much. And I think when you're thinking too much out there, all of a sudden you're not executing.
Is the pitch lab closed?
I think they need to close it for him. I think they need to close it. Every story you read about Jameis Taillon is how analytical he is, how much he thinks about his starts and what he does in between starts. I think he needs to forget about all that. Simplify it. I guarantee you that's the next thing they're going to say with him, because he's thinking too much out there. He's changed his game too much. And yes, it comes down to execution. But if your mind isn't in the right place, your execution isn't going to be there. And so I think they need to do that instead of getting all analytical with him, to be honest. But it's a bad start. He's mentioned trying to impress his new team and all that. Even that I don't want to hear. Throw that all out and compete. You guys get that, right?
Yeah.
Just go out there and compete. And he's not really doing it the way that he used to do it.
Well, if nothing else, the Cubs have
the 1-0 in the air to right. Back is Castellanos. That ball is going to be gone. Opposite field home run, Christopher Morel. The game is not over yet. His 8th of the year in only his 11th game. And now the Cubs are down by 1.
It's just incredible what he is doing.
Sounded like he had his bag packed right to leave.
Oh! Leave you alone. I mean, 8 home runs in 11 games. He should never see Iowa unless he's driving through it, Jesse.
You're right about that.
But here's a question, though, because I asked Cap about this earlier. Like, I love Morel because he has energy. He's got the little mouse whiskers for his eye black, so he's got some entertainment in him. I love that. But what's the best position for him? Because, again, errors in the outfield. Saw this in the Saturday game against Philly. He makes some miscues out there.
It's either second or third, to be honest. Yeah, he should never have been in the outfield in left in Houston for sure on game one there. But, yeah, I mean, he's filling in for Bellinger. Second or third are his best positions. But this is why he didn't make the team out of spring training, because they have Madrigal, they have Swanson, they have Horner, they have Wisdom. And I think it's, as I said to you guys many times, Jed's fault that they didn't move Madrigal once they signed Swanson. It didn't make sense to have Nick Madrigal on this team when Morel was waiting in the wings there, but it's been incredible to watch. They'll have to unclog that logjam there to get him more playing time when Bellinger comes back. I'm sure they will, because you can't keep this bat on the bench. I mean, look at this. 3 home runs to left, 2 to left center, 2 to right center, 1 to right field. His batting average on balls in play, granted, he strikes out a lot, but when he puts the ball in play, he's hitting .450. His hard hit percentage, 60%, which is a huge number. You take the strikeouts when you're hitting these kinds of home runs, right? This is Aaron Judge type of numbers in a short span time frame here. Now, I had a scout text me yesterday something very obvious. Why is anybody throwing him a fastball in the outside portion of his plate? When he gets his arms extended, the ball just flies, right? So he's going to probably start getting jammed, I would think, sooner rather than later. But you never know. Sometimes there's a lag time on finding the weakness and exploiting it. Not to say he can't hit the inside pitch, but tougher days will come. But this is fun to watch, and I don't know what happens when Bellinger comes back, but he's got to stay in the lineup, probably at third base. I mean, that's the only open position other than DH.
If they don't have this kid in the lineup, then they just need to
pack it in.
Yeah, just shut it down and go. Was it not David? And I like David. This is not a attack at David Ross.
Uh-oh.
Were you there when he made the inane comment? I don't know if we have a spot for him.
Yeah.
Who the hell do you think you have? The freaking 27 Yankees?
Well, wow. I think that the tune is changing with him. He's at a point where you can't deny him. So DH, third base, Madrigal's got to sit on the bench. Mancini might have to sit on the bench. Mervis, I mean, he plays ahead of all those guys, right? Madrigal, Mervis, Mancini, he plays ahead of all of them. Not necessarily at first, but you know what I mean. DH, third base, whatever it takes. So he sticks, and if he strikes out a lot but hits 40 home runs, who cares? You know, ride this thing as long as you can. But it was a mistake not bringing him north out of camp. There's no doubt. There's no doubt anyone in my mind. They might spin it and say, well, he needed that month down there. I don't believe that.
Saying he doesn't have room for Morel. It's like Hawk, when asked about A-Rod, he goes, I like A-Rod, but where were you playing? We got Alexi Ramirez.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. Seriously. I'm happy with the White Sox as of late, winning two series back-to-back, one against the Guardians and the other one against the Royals. Now it's the Guardians again on the road. So, Jesse, like, I'm not doing cartwheels at 19 and 29, but the ball club's playing better, especially from the bullpen.
Yeah, they're playing the way they should have been playing, right? Good baseball. Now, we'll see if it translates to better competition down the road. But within this division, they should be beating up on teams like Kansas City, which they finally did. And maybe even Cleveland this week on the road in Detroit. Those teams are not on paper as talented. But we've been saying that for 2 years. So let's see how this continues. It does feel like this is it. Like this is the stretch against the division where they have to make up all this ground. Because once June comes, it's back to tougher games, right? It's everyone from Boston to I had their schedule up now. I just locked it up. But it's a lot tougher in June than it is right now. They have to make hay. Joe Kelly's been great. Mm-hmm. Crochet's looking good in his return. Now, Clevenger's down. They've got to dip down to the minors. It's not the deepest farm system. Davis Martin just had Tommy John surgery, and so he's out. So the depth will be tested, but at least they're looking like a real baseball team, which they weren't last month.
I understand you have a book out, Jesse. This is what it says here. Could you tell us a little about it?
He's not even managing the Cubs anymore, Madden. What are you still writing on him for?
There's a new one out. There's a new one out. I appreciate it. It's called The Franchise. Get it for Father's Day. It's all about the Cubs. Curated history on the Chicago Cubs.
You could do a leaflet on the Pedro Grifol era.
Yes, yes. I still don't.
Like
I
a brochure.
Still think, look, I think both managers deserve some criticism, but I don't think both are in the hot seat right now, on the hot seat. You know, I just don't. No, you know, obviously after a month, you can't think Grifol would be, but I think a lot of people think Ross should be, and I just don't see him being on the hot seat now. A year from now, if they're underachieving, different story. Or if this season really tanks 20 under 500, different story. But I don't think he's on the hot seat at all. So, it might be a leaflet on Grifol because it's been a month, but you got to give the guy a break. Like, you know, they did this last year, and the team underachieved as well with a different manager. So I don't see how it's Grifol's fault.
And Dodgers, how about the Dodgers looking for some help with their starting rotation, but yet still a game and a half ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks in the West? Dodgers still chugging along, 29-19.
And this was supposed to be a bit of an off year for them in a way. They didn't do a lot in the off season. They lost their starting shortstop. They're supposedly getting their bankroll ready for Otani, and look at them. You're right. I mean, it's just a machine. Andrew Friedman has created the perfect situation of taking that small market mentality, right, doing all the little things he did in Tampa Bay, and now applying that to having $200 million, $250 million in payroll to use. You know, they're the perfect organization right now of the small and big. They do it both. They do both.
Jesse, are we going to get anything point in the right direction on the north side? Because it's really starting to bother me.
I want to keep saying yes, Cap, that I do think they'll inch back closer to 500. Man, the schedule with this new schedule, it just doesn't give you many breaks. They come home. I mean, the Mets are underachieving, but we know they're a good team. The Rays are on the back end of it. They're great. In between are the Reds, so you have to make some hay there. But, yeah, I do think they'll get closer to 500, Cap. I do. I just don't think it's going to be some sort of special season. I never thought that, like you and everybody, 80, 81 wins, and they're not on that pace right now. They're only a game ahead of the Reds. So I'm going to say yes, Cap, but, man, I agree with everybody out there. It's been pretty disappointing.
As always, Jesse, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
You got it, guys. Have a great week. Talk to you Friday.
See you, Jesse.
Jesse Rogers with us, and he's brought to you by...
That would be Jesse Rogers on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Jesse Rogers is always brought to you by
Power Equipment Direct. I can only read what they give me.
It's right on the screen.
Where? I don't see it.
I'm going to highlight it for you. Ready?
Stand right where I'm standing. I do not see it.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom,
I'm
boom.
I'm not tall.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
See it there, pal?
I can't see it until I get up on my tiptoes and see over the top of the monitor.
See it? Still see it?
No.
Coming up, there. Worst weekends. We'll find out who had the the worst weekend.
That's brought to you by the Schaumburg Boomers.
Okay. All right. You got that. You know why? Tall enough for you to see it.
Because it's on top of the monitor now.
Uh-huh. Worst weekends comes your way coming up next on Cap and J Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Welcome back to Cap and J Hood Experience, weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox completed their first sweep of the season. They defeated the Royals by a score of 5-2. Thoughts from Pedro Grifol.
All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday. If we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
The Sox will take on Cleveland tonight, 4:30 pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs dropped 2-3 against the Phillies over the weekend. They dropped to 20-26 on the season.
That sucks.
They have lost 14 of their last 20. Thoughts from David Kaplan.
I love L.A.
Series against the Mets start tomorrow night. The Lakers and the Celtics both on the brink. The Celtics trail 3-0 after an embarrassing 26-point loss against Miami last night. And the Lakers and Nuggets game 4 tonight. Nuggets have a 3-0 lead. Jay Moore.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Tune in.
We're already tuning in. Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Will crosstalk with Black and Abdallah in for Greeny coming up at 10 o'clock. Time for Worst Weekends, brought to you by...
Worst Weekends is brought to you by my friends at the Schaumburg Boomers. I'll be out there to throw out a first pitch and take in a ball game this summer. Looking forward to it.
This half hour, an opportunity for you to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Schaumburg Boomers. Our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap'n Jay Hood weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000. Worst Weekends, here's Shane Orling. Shane?
Well, Hoodie, we're going to get started right on the south side. I know that the White Sox picked up a sweep. They played well for the weekend for the most part. But it wasn't a great weekend for Anser Alberto. Yesterday, hurt his shoulder trying to call himself safe as he crossed first base,
yes,
running out a bunt.
I mean, really?
That was unbelievable.
Why does this keep happening, by the way? Why does this keep happening?
I don't know.
Why do runners go down the line, and as soon as they cross the plane, they got their airplane, got their both arms out. Right. I'm safe. Well, actually, it's on the umpire.
And trying to influence.
Nah. Actually, it breaks your momentum when you do that.
Well, how about these idiots that slide into first base, and they're not trying to evade a tag here?
It's always awful.
The worst.
It's always awful. That's
the
it.
Worst.
Almost, I can't say the percentage, which seems like more times than not, that's an injury, or injury definitely waiting to happen when they slide into first. That's what I would say.
Always.
So, Alberto, when it rains, it pours for the White Sox, right? You know, think about all the silly injuries that we've seen. That's one right there.
It's unbelievable just the amount of injuries that they have had. You had an appendicitis.
Yeah.
You had a back injury for Yoan Moncada. Mm-hmm. You had T.A. with a fluky freak knee injury. I mean, it's just one thing after another.
Shane Orling.
All right, so now we'll move on to some non-sports items. A German surgeon was fired over the weekend. He expressed some regrets because he had a janitor assist on an amputation.
What?
There was nobody qualified to assist on the surgery, so he called in a hospital janitor to be his assist on an amputation. He's been fired.
Really?
Wait a minute.
Really?
Cut that meat!
Oh, no!
Wow.
Damn it!
It says here, when the patient who had received the local anesthetic became restless, the doctor asked a nearby cleaner to hold the man's leg and pass surgical instruments.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Ziggy. You doing anything? Gotta go on my lunch in about 15 minutes. Hey, I need you to come over here and help me with some of this stuff, huh?
I gotta cut this leg off.
Hey, here's what I want you to do. Put your mask on. I can't breathe in this thing. It's all right, Zig. Don't worry about it, pal.
Rubber gloves.
Pass me the gloves there. If your hand's clean, but it doesn't matter. Come on in, Zig.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, what do you want?
Well, give me that that saw right there.
Saw, okay.
And then all of a sudden, they turn it on.
Awfully messy in here.
I don't know. I'm not used to this. I'm used to just sleeping. I didn't know there's going to be blood everywhere. Now it's just more work for me. Why don't you just hold on a second? Have a real professional.
No, Ziggy. All right. Scalpel. Oh, jeez.
Not used to this. Oh, gosh. Doctor, are you sure you know what the hell you're doing?
Yeah, no problem. All right. Give me some towels.
God.
Off your cart.
Give me some gauze.
Off your cart. Give me some of your towels there. There we go. Mop it up.
Blot it up.
All right. Let's sew them up. Say, you got to pass me the needle and thread, will you?
He sutured
this guy. All right. Here's what we're going to do now. All right. Zig, clean this up. See you later. So I'm sure he's helping the doctor and also cleaning the blood.
Ugh.
That's everywhere. Fired. Ziggy.
And they fired him, you said, right?
The doctor.
Yeah, he lost his job.
But is Ziggy still around, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I think the cleaner's fine. But the doctor, the surgeon, lost his career.
Hi, hon. How was your day? Honey, you'll never believe this. I helped in cutting the guy's leg off.
You did what?
Yeah, I guess I'm a doctor now. Call me Dr. Ziggy.
That's it.
How about that? Mere bag of shells.
Mere bag of shells.
All right.
When you go to bed, you're going to bed with a doctor tonight.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not just a custodian. I'm a doctor now. It's great.
Thanks, Ziggy. Here's Shay Norland.
All right, we have this poor bastard in Melbourne, Australia, James Balcom, who owned the number one bouncy castle business in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
But he had his racket found out and went to prison. Turned out it was only number one because he had been paying arsonists to set fire to the competing bouncy castle businesses.
Oh, my God.
This got discovered. He was arrested and put in jail.
Oh, my God. So you can't have two bouncy castle businesses? Do you have to be the capitalist and just be the one guy? You're going to burn down the other opposing business? Cap.
Yeah, just do your deal.
I'm surprised it's happening in Australia, too. Don't get many crazy stories like that out of Australia. No, they do crime there. Like, it's all over for you.
Oh, they...
In that country?
They don't tolerate it. It's almost as bad as Singapore.
Yeah.
Singapore... You cannot have chewing gum in the country. No chewing gum.
That's discipline right there.
And if you steal, your hands are gone. See ya.
Is it okay? Yes, the bouncy house or the bouncy castle, Shay, is a major thing for parents. You put it in the yard, you bring kids over. I mean, it's perfect, right? You don't have to go to Chunk E. Cheese. You don't have to go to any other places. You could actually have a party in your backyard if you just blow up your castle.
We had one of those when my kids were little.
Yeah.
The neighbors all wanted to have like a little, I don't know, a thing.
Yeah.
A get-together.
Yeah.
And we got one of those bounce houses. Oh, my God.
But what kind of, like, mafia guy takes out and burns down the other business, though?
This was actually very much a mafia situation. One of his arsonists got arrested and flipped on him in an interrogation.
Oh, my God.
That guy made me do it.
There can only be one bounce castle business, and it's going to be mine.
I mean, really? Seriously? Bounce House Sopranos, too. Seriously.
Sopranos 2.
Markle,
bounce house.
I don't want to burn the bounce houses anymore. You come to me with this on the day my daughter is to be wed.
I mean, seriously.
Wow. I still think it's the janitor having to assist in the...
Hang on, Cap, because there's one more. A Puerto Rican family was flying from Los Angeles back to their home in Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
Spirit Airlines denied them to get on the flight because they didn't have passports. What's the problem here? Puerto Rico's a domestic flight.
It's the United States
country. It's a territory.
Yes. What in the hell? Catch the spirit of Spirit Airline.
Wow.
Cap, let me ask you a question. If you ask the people at Spirit Airlines, talking about like when you walk up, right? Hey, where's Puerto Rico? They couldn't find it on the map, probably. Secondly, they would have no idea that's a U.S. territory.
Correct.
They're actually flying in the United States. It's just a U.S. territory. Do they need passports, Cap, from L.A. to Puerto Rico?
USA.gov. I just punched it up. U.S. citizens do not need a passport to travel to these territories. The Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. That was dated April 11, 2023.
Wait,
what are you doing?
I bet that idiot thought that Puerto Rico was Mexico. How much you want to bet? I bet you.
Had to.
I bet that idiot thought, oh, you need a passport to get to Puerto Rico.
We're not going to let you on the flight. You don't have a passport. I don't need one.
Spirit Airlines, huh? One time.
I flew one time.
One time. One
the
time
worst.
Early. Myrtle Beach. Last time.
That's where I flew it to.
Yeah.
Myrtle Beach.
Yep. Myrtle
the
Beach.
The worst.
Last time.
I knew something was up when I was booking the flight. I always go to, like, Orbitz, get the flights. Then I book through the airline, because when you book through Orbitz, it's a bitch to try and cancel or change.
Correct.
So I go, oh, there's all the flight. Oh, $486 on American, $486 on United.
Mm-hmm.
Delta, $459. Spirit, $204.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you want to have a chair? You want to put something up above? All of a sudden, you find out what a crappy airline.
You know, they're going to be a partner here soon. You hear about that? It was in an email.
Guess I'm not endorsing them.
Oh, I mean, but you'll definitely support them as they are part of the family now.
I'll let you do that.
Okay, that's fine. All right, we'll put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. You can be able to choose your worst weekends. Worst weekends brought to you by...
Worst weekends brought to you by my friends at the Schaumburg Boomers. And caller 10 right now, you get a 4-pack of tickets to see the Boomers play.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Cap and J Hood cut of the day right around the corner, right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day.
It's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I had lunch there the other day with my friend Matt. Oh my goodness, what a great patio to sit out. Highly recommend. Ran into the coach of Creighton there and his whole staff. They were in for the NBA combine. Greg McDermott and company all there. Yes. So I highly recommend Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Jay Moore!
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
A loose goose jumped onto the field. It was a Hudson Valley Renegades home game. They tweeted out, no more goose problem here.
Did somebody sneak the goose in and then throw him on the field?
How do you sneak in a goose? What, are you putting it under your shirt?
Hold on a second. Danny Wysocki, who was my great producer at NBC Sports Chicago, she's now retired from there.
Uh-huh.
She went to a game in Chicago and snuck an octopus in.
But that's, an octopus is small, Cap. A goose? A live goose.
How small is an octopus?
It's not large. You can put it in a Ziploc.
My wife's expecting.
Wow. How far along is she? 8 months? No, 10 months.
Any minute now.
I mean, seriously. either the goose was let in by someone, the goose flew in, or Cap, maybe the goose just got a ticket. Quack. Oh, two? Yeah, no problem, pal. Here's a question. Like, will the goose, if you pick him up, will the goose bite you?
I don't know.
I just think that the goose just want to have a little entertainment.
We're losing again. I'm going to provide a little entertainment here. A little jazz wings. That's what I'm going to do. Here I go. Da, da, da. What's this guy chasing me for?
Did they do what they used to do in the back, Cap, when a fan went on the field? Did they whip him with a hose?
Yeah, like we saw in the movie Casino when they put one of your wings out here. Bam!
Be a little violent. You got to think of the children a little bit.
Oh, that's okay.
Just they're out there beating a goose to death in a family event.
I think that's proper. Get off the field!
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Creation at LaSalle on the north side of the Chicago River. Gorgeous all week. Sit out on their patio. Thank me later.
Today, Cap, there's several of them. Today is National Craft Distillery Day.
Craft distillery, so it could be any kind of craft spirit, craft bourbon, craft beer.
Do you have one?
Craft vodka.
Probably bourbon for me.
Probably some type of a bourbon.
Also, Cap, it is, bear with me, National Bosses Babes Day. So it says here.
Bosses Babes Day.
Yeah, National Bosses Babes Day.
What does that mean?
So is that like a Girl Friday?
Yeah, like the boss has a hot assistant?
Well, why is that holiday? That doesn't seem right.
A little offside.
A little sexist, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you see it here, right?
Yeah.
National Bosses Babes Day. Who's your favorite babe from The Office?
I'm not going there. I will not get myself in trouble.
In GN. At GN. You're not there anymore.
Merciano was pretty good.
Maria Merciano.
Pretty girl.
Yes. Bob Sarat's wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very pretty woman.
Yes. Remember her at Channel 32.
They're a great couple.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. That's an answer. Thank you very much.
There you go.
We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Jay Moore. Our thanks to Shay. How about you and I do this tomorrow at 7?
I look forward to it, as always. Love it.
So, for our entire crew, this is Jonathan Hood. National Bosses Babes Day. I didn't expect to see that pop up.
Pretty good.
I don't know. On Chicago's Home for Sports. Talk to you tomorrow, guys. So long, everybody.
Take that!
From Chicago.
Tune in.